Hello and welcome to the programme which looks at the Holy Land. I am Paul Calvert. Psalm 103 verse 1 from the New King James Bible says this: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I'm with Rudy Friesian, who is working with Christian Friends of Israel. Now, you were here in Israel, then returned to Canada for a few weeks. Then October the 7th happened, but you came back. Why did you come back?
Well, both my wife and I believe that there is a God in Israel and our faith is in him. And so that's where I guess our conviction is centered. And as a result, you know, we came back to serve with Christian Friends of Israel here in Jerusalem. And it's, you know, and as a result of being here in the land, we believe that this is where God wants us.
Is it a scary time to be here at this time?
Yes and no. We are aware of the rocket attacks happening all around in the north, in the Galilee, and also around Gaza. Here in Jerusalem, it's pretty quiet. We haven't seen really anything like that. But there is a concern, especially if you're going to drive into other parts of the land. But we do have a peace and in being here, and we just go about the things that God has shown us to do.
Were family and friends surprised that you came back to Israel?
They felt we should stay in Canada. Why can't we support Israel from Canada? And we felt, no, we needed to be here in the land. We see that this is where God is at work in the land. He's at work with the Jewish people. He's at work with establishing Israel in the global community, and he's at work, setting Israel free from the fanatics that are trying to bring her destruction. So, they were concerned about this, but others were also very supportive and continue to pray for us and assist us in any way they can.
Has the ministry been different since October the 7th?
Yes. In the past, we would go out and we'd meet with different people in the land and they would interact normally and so we'd build friendships and that was good. After October 7th, that's when people really got shaken up badly. And I noticed that, or we both noticed that as we interact with people, they would say, well, where are you from? And you'd say, well, we're from Canada and we're volunteering here in Israel. And they said, well, you know, you don't have to be here. And why? And so why are you here? And so we would share with them why we're here. And probably just by the fact that we're here and our presence really, really touches them.
Has it been really different running to bomb shelters or hearing rocket sirens going off or even Iranian rockets flying straight by?
Yes. You know, we, for one thing, at our apartment, we do have a safe room with a 1-inch thick steel plate that we can roll over in front of the window if there's an attack. We just go to that room. But, you know, it starts out with a loud alert showing up on your phone from the home front command, basically saying that there's an attack coming, so seek shelter. That gets your attention. Now, for us, we just have to go to our safe room if we're at home. Others have to go down to a safe place in the building, like a bomb shelter. But that gets your attention. And then when you're sitting in the safe room and then you hear the siren go off in the city and then you start hearing the booms in the distance, you know that the rockets are being intercepted. Like, that does get your attention. We haven't had anything close enough to rattle the windows, but others share how even their buildings would shake. The blasts were that close. But that can be a concern. Earlier on, we had in December, we had a situation where driving down in Tel Aviv and the community we were in was under a rocket attack from Gaza. And the an app on my phone alerted me to the fact that it was there, and we right in the very area we're driving. And then we heard the community siren, and then we saw cars on the road pulling over. So we pulled over as well. We got out and went and laid down in the ditch. You know, and then shortly thereafter, we heard the boom, boom of these rockets being intercepted, probably about a mile west of us. And, you know, that gets a little concerning. But afterwards, you get up and just carry on. That's how the Israelis do it.
How long do you have since the first alert to actually get to a bomb shelter or a safe room?
Many times it's 1 to 2 minutes. they, when the ones came in from Iran, I think they gave us about 10 minutes notice, 10 or 15 minutes notice, that because they, where they were coming from. So, usually you get the home front command alert, and then you get your app, it'll give you the alert as well. And then when the sirens go off in the community around you, then you know it's pretty close.
Did you make the right decision to come back?
I would say yes. I mean, we feel very much at peace, both my wife and I. We feel very much at peace being here. You know, we believe that there is a God in Israel and that he's looking after Israel and he's looking after us.
Has the war given you opportunities that you wouldn't have normally had?
Yes, we've had opportunities to go out and to help deliver clothing and other things to the IDF reservists who aren't fully equipped because of the call-up. It's, we've taken clothing and some other, personal things to help them. And they really, really appreciate that. And conversations with these young soldiers, and that's really been, significant. And they really appreciated getting to know us and us getting to know them. We've also had opportunities to take some things to displaced people down on the Dead Sea in the hotels and that, and getting to know them and hearing their stories about what happened and why they're displaced and just how they're seeing things, because it's very difficult for them right now being away from their home for a long time. So that's given us opportunities to interact with people.
Were many of the stories that you were hearing heartbreaking stories?
Yes. Well, you get a displaced person who you ask them how it's going, and they show you a picture of their house with what's left of it after a rocket has landed, right in the middle of it and blown the roof off, and that, like, this is what they have to look forward to going back to. And so, and then others we've talked to, they've seen the terrorists, in their community, and it's really shaken them up, and they're really quite rattled by it. Others have talked about the trauma on their children and the nightmares and the fear, panic attacks that they would have. Like, that's really hard.
Are you seeing God keep Israel during this time?
Most definitely, yes. I would say that, with the rocket attacks from Iran, they said the rockets came by Jerusalem, there were some interceptions, but really all the rockets that were sent, no real damage was reported. And it's experts say that statistically this is not possible, even though you have the IDF defenses that are quite good, but to get almost 100% protection, that's almost unheard of. Like, there has to be a divine intervention to cover that.
Are Israelis frightened during this time?
Yeah, we've talked to people. There's a level of fear. And it's fear and anxiety. I talked to an older man on the bus recently, and he shared how, why does the world hate us so much, and why do they feel that, why do they want us dead? And it's, how do you answer that? And I'd say, well, we're here in the land to stand with you, because we believe that you have a place here and God has a future for you. And it's, so standing with them and trying to encourage them in this is very important.
Do Israelis feel that the state is under threat at this moment?
I would say yes, their very existence, because they have nowhere else to go. And they know that October 7th showed them that if they were overrun or if they laid down their weapons and let these fanatics come through, that's what they could expect. And they have a real concern, so they know that they have to stand and do their job, and I would say with the IDF, do their duty, because they really love this place, this land. And the other thing they talk about is they really don't have, from what I've seen, an animosity toward Arab people. They're very willing to work with them, and they can see a future together, but it's the fanatics are the ones that are really causing the problems.
What is your prayer for Israel at this time?
Just pray that, Ezekiel 36, you read the last half of the chapter, talks about God has put his name on this land and on this people. He has a plan, and he's going to show himself to the Jewish people here in the land, and then through that he's going to show himself to the world. And it's prayer is that people would, you know, that God would have a free hand to reveal himself for who he is. And, you know, Israel is his idea, not man's idea. And he's going to show himself. So people will get lay hold of this and really have their faith and their hope in him, and just kind of recognize that, you know, God's hand, and let him work, like really accept what he's doing. So that's the prayer, is that people would see God's hand and that they would respond to that.
And what's your website for people who'd like to know more about the work that you're doing here at CFI?
You can go to, you know, it's Christian Friends of Israel. It's cfijerusalem.org. So it's www.cfijerusalem.org. And they can go in and look at the publications and other things that we're about.
Okay, Rudy. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Pray that God will move by his mighty power in the Holy Land and bring his peace.